Blog Talk Radio. Acts, the 16th chapter and the 25th verse says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before him, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. And the word of the Lord is blessed. I read to you Acts, the 16th chapter, beginning at the 25th verse through the 34th verse. And I'm so grateful to God this morning for his blessings and for his benefits unto us. I am Pastor Ken, and today is Tuesday, and I am sitting in for the one and only Dr. Ventrice. That's a part of To Be Restored Ministry, and To Be Restored Ministry is spearheaded by the one and only my beautiful wife, First Lady. We call her the Prayer Pastor Marlene Carr, and we're just grateful for how God has tremendously stirred her and has brought her to this place to share the gospel with the people of God who are hungry for prayer and who are ready to learn warfare. And so To Be Restored Ministry believes in saturating the earth with prayer. And so I'm grateful that the Lord has allowed me this opportunity once again to speak to you beautiful, great people of God this morning. I do apologize. We had some technical difficulties. I had some problems getting in. My iPad wouldn't charge up like it should, and it wasn't registering correctly. So I had to go in and go in the computer and go in another way. But we did it. I think we did it this morning. So I pray that you all are blessed this morning as we go into the Word of God. Thank God for those of you that are very faithful to this ministry, To Be Restored Ministry, that you were very patient this morning, and I'm pretty sure that you were calling in like several times, calling in, and you were able to get back on the call. And so I am so grateful that you had patience enough to call back in. So I'm going to go into the Word of God this morning. I really want to talk about this part of how the jailer saw the power of God through Paul and Silas being beaten and put in the prison, in the core of the prison, and how Paul and Silas, through the prayer and the praising that went forth in the dungeon, is something how the jailer identified the power of God that came through this jail and began to shake the very foundation of it. And so he was able to recognize that it was something way more powerful than he has ever seen. And so he was able to recognize the presence of God. And the Bible lets us know this morning that the jailer went to the men of God and fell to his knees. And the word of the Lord that was spoken through Paul and Silas told this particular guard, told him that you and your household will be saved. We've been talking about family. This is our month to minister to families and to talk about the family and how God wants to bring reconciliation and want to bring strength and want to encourage, want to build up families, because I'm going to tell you, strong families build strong communities, and strong families also build strong churches. And so understand if the family is broken, then we have broken communities and broken churches, and we believe that God ordained family first. Family first. We are advocates for family. My wife and I, we love ministering to family. And so we want to take this opportunity to just speak a word of life to families in this season, to the husband, to the wife, and to the children. And I want to tell you this morning that not only does God come to save you, but he wants to save your entire household. He wants to save your entire household. And it's something how in these days how the enemy has made it look like that God's word has no effect upon our families. And it's something how when you're going through in your own families, as a minister and as a pastor, you can minister to a lot of families and everybody, and it's easy to let other families know how God is going to save and deliver and set free, and how God is going to break yokes, and you can encourage families. But it's something about when it hits your family. It's a total different feeling and a total different response and reaction. But what I want you to know this morning, that just like God can do it for those families that you've been encouraging and talking to, I don't care how bad your situation looks in your family, God can do it for you. He can and he will. God can do it for you. I want you to just take a few minutes and just decree and declare this morning, said, my son will be saved. My daughter will be saved. Just begin to speak those few words and begin to just speak it in the atmosphere. My husband will be saved. My wife will be saved. Come on, take a few seconds and do it right now. Come on, let's say it. Yes, my sons, my daughters, my cousins, my nephew. Yeah, I'm talking about the one that's been selling drugs. I'm talking about the one that seemed like he or she has been strung out on drugs. The power of God is powerful enough to save and bring deliverance. And it's something how I'm pretty sure, just by experiencing this jailer experiencing the power of God for his family, and then being able to take it to his house, and the Bible says that his entire family was baptized. I want to tell you all today, God wants to do the exact same thing for us, and it's something how the enemy wants us, our mind and our emotions and our feelings, to be so scattered and not even prepare for God to do things in our home. And I was talking about discipline on Sunday, and discipline just simply means the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior. And so many times we fail to realize our roles and to be disciplined in the roles in our family, because we must understand that there is a role for the wife, and there's a role for the husband, and there's a role for the children. And many times we find ourselves wanting God to bless chaos, or to come in and bless what we are not prepared for, and because we fail to understand that there is a divine order for families that God set from the very beginning. There is definitely a divine order, and God's will for our life is to be disciplined in the position that he has ordered us to be in, and understanding that we have a description of each position. And many times the enemy he won't allow us to really understand or even study those positions, as it says in Ephesians. It tells wives to submit to your husband, and it tells the husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church, as he gave himself for the church. And many times, being married for 30 years, I found myself doing everything else but exactly what the Lord has required of me. And I found myself not being disciplined in that place, because you need to understand that along with discipline and consistency, a change will come. And you gotta have a way of life, a way of living. You gotta learn how that even when you don't understand it at all, you gotta believe that the Word of God, the power that's in the Word of God, that when you are consistent, that when you embrace the Word and you are consistent in the Word, that a change will come for your family. Yes, I believe that some of you all have been battling and been fighting against your loved ones, or some of you have lost hope in some areas. I don't know, it may be that son or that daughter or someone that's constantly going in and out of jail. I want you to really grab a hold this morning. I want you to grab a hold of hope in knowing that, first of all, the power of God. And through your consistency and standing in your place and your role and being disciplined in that place, I want to tell you this morning, Mama. I want to tell you this morning, Daddy. I want to tell you this morning, my sister and my brother, that God can break the yokes from off of your family. He can break it. He can break it, and He will break it. I don't know what your situation may be this morning, and I know in ministering to so many families and husbands and wives, I see so many times that even as it relates to ministry, you see so many families or husbands and wives where the wife is stronger than the husband. She is the one that take charge. And many times we expect God to come in and to bless without us being in our proper roles or in our proper positions. And many times I talk to many wives or many husbands that my wife and I sit with, and because the wife is saved longer than the husband, and because she is gifted, it seems as if she's gifted more than a husband, or we have actually define one gift higher than the other. Not, and we fail to realize that all gifts come from God, and every gift that God gives is very important. But the enemy has really snuck up on our Christian couples, and he has caused a confusion to hit homes, even with husbands and wives that are saved. Even with the wife that's saying, "God save my husband," or that husband saying, "God save my wife." And then when the Lord bring salvation to that particular spouse, the enemy tried to hit with confusion, and then he allows that the spirit. I was talking to my wife this morning about it. I was taking her to the airport, and it's something how I've seen over and over again, this spirit of Jezebel that's in our society today, how this spirit has pumped up the women in positions and has beaten down the men. And I've also seen it in churches where that spirit of control that hits our families, that hits our wives, it's a subtle spirit. Now, understand, you know, this morning that I want you to really just walk with me on this one, that it's a subtle spirit that hits our families that causes the man to take down, and he don't even realize that he's taken down, because many times our women, just like my wife, she's a very gifted woman, and she's anointed by God, and she hears from the Lord. And it's something that the enemy would try to use even that situation, that if he's fighting me with low self-esteem or inferiority, he will cause me to listen or to obey every move that my wife is saying, and not wanting me to lead the way. Because, in other words, what I'm saying is God is commanding the men of God to lead the way, not to follow the way, to lead the way, to be sensitive to his wife and children, to be sensitive to the things that surround them, but at the same time be in position to stand strong enough and firm enough to understand what you're dealing with and the decision that you need to make for your family that comes directly from God. Because sometimes our wives can be very emotional. Now, come on, women. Come on, walk with me here. Sometimes you are hit with a lot of emotion, but God has sent you a man of God that is steadfast. And although he may not sound like he's so spiritual, although he may not be prophesying, although he may not be, you know, saying, thus saith the Lord, I want to tell you that God has already put in that man what he need to lead that family. Men are not emotional. When we make decisions, we speak what we're sure about. And it may not be, sometimes it may not be the right answer, but at the time is the what we think is the right answer. And I get it. Sometimes, because my wife and I went through it, sometimes I will believe that the Lord is telling me something, I will believe. But one thing I'm grateful for is that the Lord has taught her how to hear me, even when she do not agree with certain moves that I'm making, because she knows my heart is, I want to make it for the family. And I want to encourage, even right in here, I want to encourage the wives to build up your men, build up your husbands, build them up and push them into their place. So many times I see, because it's a lack of it's, there's a lack in that position of headship, and many times I've seen the wives jump into that position, and I want you to understand that it doesn't make it right because you're trying to fill that position. We have to learn how to support one another in our positions, and we have to, first of all, identify where we belong, and then understand that where our positions are, where we are positioned, that's the anointing that we are supposed to walk in. And so even when it comes to the point where the man is not in his position, it's important that the woman of God pushes him into that place. Honey, what do you think? I'm grateful that my wife even was able, that in the times that I was battling my headship, or I was battling how to pray and how to speak into their lives or how to lead the way, it was my wife that, you know, thank God for her. It was my wife that would say, but sweetheart, what do you think? How do you feel? Irregardless of what I'm thinking or what I say, what do you think we should do? How do you think we should maneuver with this? How do you think we should move in and out of this? What is the decision? Now, I'm going to give you my feelings, but I know ultimately you have to make the final decision. What I'm saying today is important, because until we put our spouses in the correct position, and we have discipline in those positions, we won't see the manifestation of the power of God that can work even through that. Because I'm finding that so many times we get so mystical and we get so deep about things, and we can be completely out of order. But what God wants to do in this season and during this month, God wants us to do introspection on our roles and where we should be and how we should respond as it relates to our roles, so our families can get on one accord, and so that the presence of God can rest over our families, and we can see the manifestation of God's power working through that, because it's through that, and through the discipline, and through the consistency of being right, of walking in righteousness, that God will begin to move in your family. Understand that children watches us. They watch husband, they watch mama, they watch daddy, they know when mom and daddy off a little bit. So it's very important that your roles, that you are playing your roles, that you are secure in your roles, that when you are speaking what the according to the word of God, because it's the word of God that brings the power to make the change for the family. What am I saying this morning? I'm simply saying that God wants order for your family. I know you've been doing that for a long time. I know he's been sitting down for a long time, and you had to lead the way so many times. But I believe that God wants to give you the wisdom to help push your man into that place so that he can lead your family into victory. My prayer this morning, people of God, my prayer this morning is that God will bring restoration and real freedom to your home. There is nothing, I want to tell you all something, it's nothing like having a home that's in order. It's nothing like having a home that is peaceful, that you can go home and you can and say, I can't wait till I get home, because you know there's peace in your home. Because when you have things in divine order and it's pleasing to the Lord, God brings peace into your home. I want to tell you, my sister and my brother, I want to tell you that God wants to bring order and discipline for your family. I'm so grateful. Our oldest son is 29 years old, and we have 6 children. So the first 4 are 1 year apart, 29, 28, 27, 26. And then we got our baby girl who just graduated, thank God, from college this past Saturday with a bachelor's degree, and she's 22 years old. And then my youngest son is 17. But one thing that we developed in our home, we did this every single morning. Before the children went to school, we grabbed their hands and we began to pray. One of the things that I am so grateful for, when I look back on the structure of my family, even when I did not understand what my place was all about, when I was inferior, or when I felt like that my family could be better without me, because I was so full of rejection, I was so full of insecurity, and I wasn't sure about myself and wasn't sure about my role, I'm grateful to the Lord that a godly woman was still able to submit and build all at the same time. Let me tell you something. The Bible is right. the Bible is right. A woman's hands, she can build her house, or she can tear it down with her own hands. And many times I've watched women of God, or even wives, when their husbands were vulnerable, to just tear him down even more. You don't really realize how much power you got. I don't care if your husband is cheating right now. I want you to understand your position, your authority that you have by being in covenant with that man, that you can speak into that man's life, and you can bind up that spirit that has attacked your husband or attacked your wife through another individual, because you have a heavenly connection through the covenant that you have with that spouse, and you can speak it, you can love them back to health. Many times I see families, they run as a result of hell breaking loose in their home, but through the Lord letting us know that we should love our wives as Christ loved the church, we must understand that in the worst times of your relationship, that's when we're supposed to love the most, because it's the love that we need to bring back the security, and to bring back the restoration that we need to have in our homes in order for God to really breathe upon it. It's through the faith that one spouse has. I want to get the scripture that says right here. I want to say in the book of Corinthians, First Corinthians 7. It says this. It's 7:14. It says, "For the unbelieving husband is made holy because of his wife, and the unbelieving wife is made holy because of her husband. Otherwise, your children will be unclean, because as it is, they are holy." The scripture says right here in 1 Corinthians, Paul was writing to the church of Corinth. He was saying, he was telling them, he was giving them order, and he was also answering questions about the order of families, about marriage, and about what they should do in certain situations. And so in these particular scriptures right here, he was just simply saying, for if your husband is not saved, because even before then, he was just saying that if you're married to an unbelieving a spouse and they want to go, then they're free to go. But he was telling them in the 14th verse, and he was just telling them that the power of the unbelieving husband, through them living according to the word of God, they can sanctify that unbelieving spouse. That's how powerful the word is. And that's how powerful the word can be for you, can be for us, even when we are going through. I never forget the years before we started our ministry, before we started Total Restoration, how the enemy hit our home severely. And ministering in the church, and I'll never forget how I got hurt and I got very upset. I got angry, and I stopped going to church, and I said, I'm not going to church anymore. This is it. I said, if I got to pray at home with my family and go play golf or whatever, and I can't play golf, you know, but, you know, I can try and learn. But I said, if I need to go and just sit down and just pray with my family because I'm sick of church, I'm sick of church folk, I'm sick of church stuff, and I didn't realize that saying that is set us up for a great attack. And when I began to be lax in that and not going to church and just refusing to go back and, you know, no longer ministering, and I thought just, you know, just the bedroom and the living room was going to be fine, because when there's a calling on your life, you know, to do something, first of all, you need to get in position to be trained for that calling that you have. You need to be under someone that is going to mold and shape you through the word of God. And I didn't realize that it was a setup when I said, I'll never go to church again. And by me being the head, it opened an avenue for the enemy to hit us hard. And infidelity hit my home. And my wife, because I opened that door, it hit all of my children and it hit my wife as well. And of course it hit me. But when the infidelity took place, with my wife and this other gentleman, I had to really go back to a place where God, began to mold me years prior to that. I had to go back to what I used to do, which fall on my face and begin to cry out to the Lord. And through the situation that we had went through at that particular time, I'm so glad that the Lord, through the years of prayer, had rooted us and grounded us in prayer and just anchored us in God, that even when we were in trouble like that, that we were able to revert back to the things of God and watch God begin to bring the healing and bring the deliverance and bring the family back in. Because I'm going to tell you all something. It was a very hard situation for us that my children saw. We were, you know, and we had to really depend on God to bring us out of that situation. But we had to be real about the situation, and then we had to understand that first of all, the enemy's plan and his plot is to completely destroy the family. That's his design. That is his job, to destroy you. So whatever he needs to do it, he's going to do it. But one thing that I learned in that season is that through that broken time, through that broken situation, that's a time that I had to love more. I had to prove my love in that season. I had to show Ephesians for husbands to love your wives as Christ loved the church. As hard as it was, I had to over and over ask myself, if I was in a situation, would God forgive me? And if the Lord is telling me to love my wife as Christ loved the church, what does that look like? Because we'll say the scripture, but we really don't allow that scripture to marinate in our hearts. What does it look like for the Bible says for the wife to submit herself unto her husband as a church is to Christ? Because many times, now be honest, many times I find many wives that frown at the word submission. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not doing that. But then we try to figure out why our families is all messed up, all out of order, because we fail to go back to the principles, to the biblical principles that God has already established for us. And understand, because the enemy don't want you to see that the submission is for your protection, because God is commanding the husbands to cover their wives, to cover them, to shield them, to protect them. But we can't do it if the wife is fighting the position and saying, I don't need no man, I don't need nobody to help, I don't need, but what if, and your question may be, but what if he's not covering me? That's where that scripture comes in at, is that the sanctified wife will sanctify the unbelieving husband. That's the power of the word of God. That's the power of your faith. You got to know that you know. I watch even my mother. I watch my mother endure even some hard times, but I saw how God brought a change even in my stepfather's life just by her having a prayer life and loving him. I saw God just begin to move in his heart, and what we fail to realize is that God is in control of all of this, and we have to let him be in control. If we're saying, God, I want you to be in the midst of my family. I want you to be in. I want you to be the center of my family. I want you to be the focus of my family. Do you really understand what you're saying? When you're saying, God, I want you to be the focus of my family. I want you to be in the middle of all of our situations. Do you know that when you asking God to get in the middle of your family, in the middle, and be the focus of your family, even the word of God that says, if you raise your children up in the way that they should go, when they grow older, they will not depart from it. When you put God in the midst of your family, you're asking God to secure your positions. You're asking God to anoint you for your place. You're asking God, you are asking God, Lord, help me to do what I am supposed to do. Because so many times we are so concerned about the other person's role that we forget our roles. When you're asking God to come in the midst of your family and to be the God over your family, and you're disciplined in that place, I want to tell you all that you will get results. I don't have a perfect family, you all. I don't. We still have problems and situations. But I know this. I know God is in full control. I know God can fix it. And not just know that he can, but I'm telling you from the bottom of my heart, I know that he will. And I've learned that not only to believe God for other families, but I had to learn how, and the growth came more when I learned how to believe God for my family. When the stuff started hitting my house, when things started happening right with my children or with my spouse, I had to learn how to look through the eyes of God and see it as he sees it and believe what he's showing me. And I had to have a knowing on the inside that God will change it and he will fix it. I want to play one more song, and then when we come back, I want to just pray for your families. I want to believe God with you this morning. Some of you all may be frustrated about this same situation that keep popping up. And I want to tell you today that I want to encourage you and share with you to allow God to work with you in the midst of that confusion. Yeah, he may be the one causing the confusion, or she may be the one causing confusion, and you're blaming one another. But if you're saying, God, I want you in the midst of my house, I want you to control the situation, I want to tell you that God will bring peace to the matter if you allow him to work in you. So let's go to a song, and then when we come back, I want to spend some time praying for you and with you.
Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord.
From the storm, when all my
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for that song. I just want to say before I go into prayer that I can feel some of your hearts, and I can feel that some of you are just been really crying out to God for your family, for your loved ones, and you've been really going through with that child or your spouse. And I just want to give you hope this morning. One of the reasons why that Pastor Marlene and I are so transparent about our lives is because we knew that after the Lord brought us out, that there were more families just like us. And I'm going to tell you all, it's nothing that we haven't heard. It's nothing that we haven't heard that God couldn't fix. I want to tell you that God can fix your situation. And some of you, this is your first time hearing about the infidelity and hearing about how my family went through. I'm not putting our business on the street. We are a testimony of what God can do. We are a testimony of how God can really bring real freedom to your lives. We enjoy the freedom of the Lord, and you can enjoy the same. You don't have to know. You no longer have to shout over this. You no longer have to go to church and cry like there's no hope. You no longer have to cry when your favorite song come on. Guess what? You can cry with tears of joy from now on, in knowing that God is going to fix your situation. So as we go into prayer, I want you to just begin to give God this hard situation. I know it's heavy. I know you've been hurt. You've been hurt so bad, and you don't even know how to stop thinking about it. You don't even know how to stop being angry or stop being upset. You must know that forgiveness is for you. It's not for the other person. It's for you. So you can break free from the control of thinking about that individual. So you can break free from all of the control of what that person is doing and what they're saying or who they're with, so that you can be free and move on in your life. And when you forgive, you're saying, God, I release that individual from the punishment that I think they deserve as a result of my pain and as a result of my hurt. And then you have to allow God to heal your heart. You have to go through the process of healing. You know, surgery is one thing, and when you're having surgery, you sleep. But it's when you wake up and you're recovering from what you've gone through and you feel the pain of it, it takes time to heal. It takes time. It doesn't mean that you didn't forgive. It just means it takes time to heal, and you got to put the word of God on it every single day. You got to put prayer on it every single day, like an ointment and like a gauze that you can just, you know, cover it up where it can heal properly. You can take it off, and you know, you can allow the breath of God to hit that sore spot in your life. Being real about it. So many times I remember going to God and saying, God, I don't know if I can do this. In all reality, I can't do this, and I just, you know, I don't know how to love again. If this is your will for me to stay, and I know your word is true, and you don't like divorce, but God, I need you to help me in this season because I don't feel it. You got to learn how to give God those real places. And when you allow God to come into that real place, hallelujah, glory to God, when you allow God to come in that real place, he can heal you. He can bring deliverance. He can bring reconciliation to your heart. And you will watch how the power of faith will begin to move just by you speaking what's not there yet, or what you're not feeling yet, or what you should feel yet. Just by you speaking it every day and walking in it every day, it becomes reality eventually. Mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers, moms and dads, and uncle and aunties and grandparents, I want to tell you today that God is ready to move for you. So gracious Father, how wonderful you are, how glorious you are, how mighty you are. We thank you this morning because you are real to us this morning. And Father, we thank you that you thought of us enough to speak a word into our life. There may be some areas that we don't understand or that maybe we are drawing back on some areas, but God, in these hard areas where we're drawing back and where we know that your word tells us to do how your word defines our position in the families, I ask you today, God, that you would help us to be secure in those areas. And Father, I understand that so many of us have gone through so much and we're saying, I can't trust this person anymore. I can't trust this individual anymore. They hurt me too much. They hurt me too bad. But God, I'm asking you today to let us see what you are seeing. Give us a peek of what you're doing. Let us know that you're there, God. God, come into that hard place of our heart, that hard place of our life, and begin to bring a release in the spirit, God, that we can love again, that we can trust again. Father, that we can live again. Hallelujah. God, so many nights of tears flowing down our faces, or so many nights that we're crying and our spouses don't know, our children don't know, or God, our parents don't know, and we're suffering emotionally, and we haven't spoken a word to anyone. We're going through constantly about things that are going on. At a vulnerable time, and we don't understand why we're moving back from the church or moving back from spiritual leadership. And Father, we just need you to help us in this season, God. We know that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And sometimes the enemy hits us so hard that we don't have the energy or the strength to war. But God, you said in your word to let the weak say that I'm strong. And so, Father, I thank you that in our weakness, in our weak times, that the strength of God is holding us up. And even in times when we feel like we can't make it, we thank you that you've been holding us all of this time. It's not been our own strength. Yeah, I understand that so many people have learned how to repress their emotions and move on. But God, we have now identified that it's been your strength all along. We've been dealing with that child, that troubled child, or we've been dealing with that unbelieving spouse. We've been dealing with that uncle or that auntie, or we've been dealing with that cousin, or God, that one that's causing confusion in the family. But God, this morning, hallelujah, we give all of our problems to you. Hallelujah. We give all of our situations to you, and we are just going to believe with the faith, the size of the mustard seed that we have this morning. God, it's hard to believe, but God, help our unbelief this morning, and we use a little bit that we have, and we speak to the mountain, and we command that mountain in our family to be removed in Jesus' name. God, we're asking you this one more thing, that you would begin to expose the enemy. Expose the enemy of witchcraft. Expose the enemy of seduction. Expose the enemy of deception. Expose the enemy that Jezebel spirit. Expose it in Jesus' name. And we don't blame the person that's in our family. We blame the enemy. Expose that spirit in us, so that we can see what we're lacking as husbands and as wives. So that we can see, God, if we are working our job description according to the word of God, if we're in our places as the husband, as the wife, as the children. And Father, help us to respect the lines of position. Help us, God. And help us to push and encourage, God, our spouses or our loved ones, God, in those positions. Help us to pray for one another. Help us to speak life to one another. Help us, oh God, to walk together in unity. You said where there's unity, there is strength. And Father, I would hear the older saints say all the time, a family that prays together stays together. And Father, it's a true statement. It's a true statement that a family who prays together, because we know that there's power in prayer. Power puts us in the throne room. It puts us in a place where we are able to commune, to talk to you about situations that we don't understand. And it's a place that we can get our answers. And so we believe in the statement that says a family that prays together stays together. Father, let prayer stir up in our homes again. We used to pray at one time, God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We used to pray, God, even in the morning we would pray. Even around our food at the table, we used to sit down and eat dinner together or eat lunch together or talk about our situation that happened throughout the day. But, God, the enemy has scattered our families. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. The enemy has called our families to walk away from one another. And, Father, we fail to realize the importance of spending time with our loved ones. Oh, my God. Irregardless of them not being saved, irregardless of them not being delivered or healed or having an addiction, but God, just like Christ, sat with those who had problems and issues. Let us not be so sanctimonious or so holy, God, that we can't see the heart of the individual and loose love on that family member. In Jesus' name, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you're going to do. I thank you for every person under the sound of my voice, God, those that are crying out for their loved ones right now, those that are crying out for that son, that daughter, Boshaya. Hallelujah. That God, that husband, that wife, that mother, that father, God, somebody's crying right now. Hallelujah. God, believing that you're going to touch God. God, somebody's getting a breakthrough right now, knowing that you're moving for that family. Somebody has made a declaration today that today is the day of a new beginning for their family, and they're going to start bringing their family together. And even if it's a one-minute prayer, they're going to start having a one-minute prayer or a two-minute prayer with their children and their spouse, and they're going to push that wife is going to push her husband into that headship and respect God, the position they put him in, God, so that she can be protected along with the children. I thank you now that you are setting in divine order. You're setting in divine order. Father, I thank you that you're restoring back in the churches our families, God. God, the enemy has hit our families and the churches like never before, and there is a high percentage rate of divorces in our churches. And God, I believe it's all because, God, we don't respect our roles, and we're really not obeying your word as it relates to our position and being disciplined in that position. So, God, this morning, we embrace it and we receive it. We accept it in Jesus' name. So as we leave one another, but not from your presence, let your spirit rest, rule, and abide henceforth, now, and forever, until we all meet again on tomorrow morning. We give you glory and praise, and we magnify you, and we glorify you. And these things shall be done according to your word, and so it is, in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all. I love you so much. Have a blessed day. This is Pastor Ken from Total Restoration Church, and I want to tell you that God loves you, and he's going to save you and your household. See you in the morning.
Thank you for joining To Be Restored, a time of devotion and prayer. Brought to you by Marlene Carr and the partners of To Be Restored Ministries. Pray with us live every Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. Central Time, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. To join us while we're on live, dial 646-668-8056 or tune in and listen to our podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/be-restored. Do you need to build, rebuild, or strengthen your prayer life? Right now, you can access over 1,200 recorded prayers on numerous topics like faith, family, God's love, and forgiveness. Go to toberestored.org to access pre-recorded prayers, where you will find encouragement to pray through any of life's circumstances. Like and follow us on Facebook at To Be Restored Ministries, and follow Marlene on Instagram at MarleneCarr1. If you're interested in contacting Marlene for a speaking engagement or desire information about enrolling in intercessory prayer training, visit toberestored.org or call Total Restoration Church, 815-573-5517. That's 815-573-5517. To Be Restored Ministries is committed to saturating the earth with prayer.